We won't be reading from Proverbs this morning. Pastor Tim will be reading from Proverbs 11, 1 through 31. But we do want to pray. So let's pray. Father, we just come before you on this last Sunday of 2013. And Lord, we pray that your presence would be with us this morning. We pray, Lord, for your anointing on Pastor Tim as he brings us the word from Proverbs, that we might soak it in, Lord, and help it to change us. As we just sang, Lord, that we would be conformed to your image, that you would just continue the process of sanctification in our lives. Help us to embrace the work that you're doing in us, Lord. Conform us to your will. And Father, we pray, Lord, for all of the prayer requests that are in the bulletin. I encourage you to pray for the prayer requests that are in here. And I just want to pray also, Lord, that we thank you, Lord, for this new year that we come into. Father, may we go into it with expectation of what you're going to do in our lives, in our families' lives, in our fellowship. We pray, Father, for our leadership in this church, for our elders and their wives and their families, that you would give them wisdom as they direct the affairs of this body and the ever-changing landscape of America, that you would just grant them wisdom, Lord, to lead us. Help us to be followers. Help us to keep them in prayer. And Lord, we pray for all of these prayer requests in here today. I thank you, Lord, that Joe Morgan could be with us this morning, Father. I pray that you would just continue to bless her. And during the meet and greet, I talked to Neil, who has a virus and he has too much iron, Lord. And we just pray, Father, that you would help him to get over that, that you would bring his blood levels back to normal. And Father, we ask your anointing on Pastor Tim now as he brings us the word, that we may soak it in and may it change us into your image and conform us to your plan for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, brothers, for your prayer. Good morning, church. How good our Lord is. Amen. Amen. Today we have our 15th teaching from the book of Proverbs, and we are trying to get through a chapter, a teaching, which is quite a job. It's hard to say so little about so much. But today our sermon is entitled, The Righteous, the Wicked. And we begin with the introduction. If you have the handout that came in the bulletin, it says, this morning we return to our study of the book of Proverbs, picking up at the 11th chapter. Here, the way and benefit of righteousness is contrasted to the way and detriment of wickedness. We have before us a great contrast, verse after verse. Harry Ironside wrote, it is as though God would, in the wonders of his grace, use every opportunity to warn of the dangers and sorrows to be encountered when the heart rebels against his word, and to put before us the blessings and delights, both temporal and spiritual, to be found when we are in subjection to wisdom and truth. May the Lord open our eyes, granting us understanding, that we might fully comprehend that the way of the wicked is dangerous and disastrous, while the way of the righteous is most blessed. It is my prayer that we would all learn that of the grace of God, he has placed before us the instruction of his word, giving us the opportunity to learn through merciful instruction rather than by the rod of correction. Family, let's not be stubborn. Let's submit to our Lord. Amen? Letter A, my dear family, let us resolve in our hearts and minds to perceive and act upon what is before us, that we might honor and glorify our Heavenly Father while living under the superabundant blessings of his benevolent hand. Reading Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Roman numeral 1. There are things God hates and things God loves. In the wisdom of God and in the love for Christ, let us walk by the Spirit, putting off what God hates while putting on what he loves. We know in the New Testament we're presented with the put off, put on principles. Put off sin, put on Christ. Amen? Let us put on righteousness and put off wickedness. Because this put on, put off principle is not just New Testament, it's Old Testament also. Amen. God hates dishonesty. And as this verse emphasizes, he hates deception in business practices. The Lord made this known from the very beginning, for the eighth commandment says, thou shalt not steal. And the ninth is like it, thou shalt not covet. As Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 16 says, you shall not have in your bag differing weights, a large and a small. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. And the idea is that however you want to take advantage, you have a differing weight or a differing measure. He says, no. You're not to have differing measures. You shall have a full and just weight. You shall have a full and just measure, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. For everyone who does these things, who acts unjustly, is an abomination to the Lord your God. Well, this is a serious matter, amen? A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. A false balance is one that is purposely made to deceive, to bring the owner of the weight unjust gain. Such a balance is an abomination to the Lord. And don't think that the word abomination is employed here for theatrical effect. It's serious. God utterly detests dishonest practices, for deceitful transactions are the manifestation of a dishonest, unjust, covetous heart, all of which God abhors. It isn't a matter of what I'm doing, it's a matter of why I'm doing what I'm doing. The injustice of dishonest weights is a matter of the heart. So while God detests a false balance, thanks be to God, he delights in accurate weight, in honest, ethical business practices. God hates dishonest gain, but church, he delights in a fair wage. Indeed, as scripture teaches, the laborer is worthy of his hire, and he is to be paid. My family, we must conduct our business as it is. It is before the eyes of the holy and just God. Nothing we do is done in secret. Beloved, it is better. It is far better to be one who is taken advantage of than to take advantage of another. For God is judge, and he who sees will render a just judgment. If I take advantage of another, the Lord sees it, and he will hold me accountable. If I am taken advantage by another, the Lord sees it, and he'll take care of me. He's my God. Amen? Further then, think of this. Faith in God has no need for dishonest gain. For the man of faith has entrusted himself to the Lord and knows that in all things God will work what is for his best. And how is it, church, that one would believe God for their salvation and then doubt him for their sustenance? How is it that one would believe God for their eternal salvation but then doubt God in the moment? Will we trust Christ to save us and then think that we must deceive to make an extra dollar? Will we work what God hates, or will we do what God loves? This is before us today. That song is so good. Righteousness, righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what God requires. And then what do we do about that? I'm ruined. How do I produce righteousness? So then we cry out to the Lord God, amen? Lord, conform me. Lord, make me. Lord, transform me. I'm dependent upon you. God calls us to righteousness, and then he equips us for righteousness, for we are in Jesus Christ. If you are involved in dishonest practices. And I don't care where they're at. If you're involved in any dishonest practice, then turn from your sin by turning to God. Like Zacchaeus, meet with Jesus and confess your sin and pay back what you have dishonestly taken. But if I did that, I'd be ruined. Then be ruined in this world and saved for heaven. Be content to make an honest living through an honest day's work. Beloved, don't you know that if you have Christ, that you have everything you need? You have every good thing in Jesus Christ. God will supply your need through Christ Jesus, and he's the one who gave himself for you. What good thing will he withhold? Letter A, God despises dishonesty and delights in honesty. Make the Lord your God and worship him through the praise of honesty. Verse 2, when pride comes, then dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. God hates pride so much that he opposes the proud. All creation is God's. And for what reason shall a man who is created and gifted by God then exalt himself? Shouldn't man exalt the God who created him? Shall a man be proud because he has a good mind, he has much intellect, when really that's to God's glory? Shall a man exalt himself and be proud because he's gifted in business when that's to God's glory? God created him that way. J. Adams wrote, humble persons recognize that all they are and all they have that is good comes from God. They have nothing to brag or act arrogant about, but everything to be thankful for. Grace accounts for everything that is fine and worthwhile. How can one be arrogant about what good he received when he deserves nothing but the opposite? Be careful when you think you stand, lest you fall. First comes pride, then failure. First comes pride, then commiserate shame and dishonor. Be sure of this, the proud will be humbled. They will be humbled before God, for it is appointed unto every man to die. Then comes the judgment. And on that great day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Be wise, dear one, for God blesses the humble with wisdom. And wisdom isn't associated with disgrace and honor, but with grace and honor. The humble one, as granted by God, acts in wisdom and has nothing to be ashamed of, but will stand before the Lord in Jesus Christ, blameless, without fear of punishment. Letter B, the wise put off the pride God opposes and put on the humility he blesses. Be wise. Learn. Verse 3. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the falseness of the treacherous will destroy them. The one who is upright in heart, who has the precepts of God written upon his heart, will be a person of integrity. When he considers which way he should go, godliness will guide him in the paths of righteousness. He will do the right thing for the right reasons, for the step of a righteous man is ordered by the Lord. Integrity is not a self-developed quality. It is a gift from God that we should give ourselves to through the study of his word, through submission to his word, by the following of the Spirit. Ironside wrote, the principle here laid down is far-reaching and of vast importance. It enters into every detail and ramification of the believer's path and service. It is not so much intelligence that is lacking among the mass of saints as real integrity of heart. I remember the preacher in California saying, we're educated beyond our obedience. For many in the church, it's not a lack of knowledge, it's a lack of integrity. Integrity before God. Many are instructed in the way they should go, but in lacking integrity toward God, they find every excuse to rationalize going their own way. Well, I see the word says that, but I don't feel so good about that. I see the word says that, but I think I have a better plan. Let it be known. Those who lack integrity act treacherously toward God, and so comes their destruction. Letter C, God guides the upright by the integrity that is consistent with his word, while the treacherous are destroyed by their own deception. Verse 4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Here we get a right perspective of riches. A man may gain wealth through dishonesty, and he may brag about his riches. He may be very proud of all that he has attained, but his worthless, ill-gotten gain will buy him nothing when he stands before the holy God. In fact, his ill-gotten gain will actually testify against him. The wicked may have bought men, but God cannot be bought. In righteousness, the holy judge will judge justly. And what will you do, dishonest one, when he pronounces a just judgment against you? In contrast, the one who by faith in the crucified and risen Christ has turned from his sin and trust in Jesus and his righteousness, that one is delivered from the wage of sin and spared on the day of wrath. Number one, before us lay life and death, eternal life and everlasting ruin. Choose your path rightly. Oh, we're too frivolous about life. We're not serious about our daily choices. We act treacherously before God. But God acts in all sincerity, and what he says will come to pass. Verses 5 through 8. The righteousness of the blameless will smooth his way, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the treacherous will be caught by their own greed. When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of strong men perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, but the wicked takes his place. Righteousness simplifies life, while wickedness complicates it. When we say, "What shall I do?" we know the answer. We shall do the right thing. Now, sometimes we might struggle saying, "What is the right thing?" But we know it's pretty simple. We do the right thing. When Heritage Christian Fellowship started, my goodness, is it 16 or 17 years ago now? 1997, so this next February will be 17 years. Wow, time is passing. When Heritage started, we said over and over and over, it's fairly simple. What the Bible says, that's what we're going to do. Righteousness simplifies life while wickedness complicates it. Always finagling, always trying to find one's own way, always trying to work this angle and that angle, trying to work this person and that person. The righteous one never has to remember the lie he told, for he tells the truth. But the wicked, they have to remember whom they've told what, whom they've lied to, and what lie they tell, and they're always in danger of being found out, and they fear that. The way of the righteous is smooth, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Well, God delivers the righteous one. He traps the wicked in their own devices. And all that the wicked one hoped for will come to an end when he dies. What will he take with him? All he accumulated will be left behind. Even the gold ring on his finger will be removed. The earthly expectations of the strongest of men perishes with them, for even the strongest go to the grave and are but dust. But the righteous, God will deliver them. Amen. He will deliver them from the grave. He will put the wicked who troubled them in their place. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. This is an eternal law. There is no denying it, no skirting it. There are the righteous and there are the wicked, and each one will reap exactly as they have sown. Sow to self and reap self-destruction. Sow to God and reap his kingdom. I plead with you, with all that is in me, I plead with you that you should carefully consider what Jesus said, Matthew 16, 26 and 27. For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then recompense every man according to his deeds. Number two, God's retributive justice is sure and swift, and it is folly to think otherwise. Before you is life and death. Choose Christ and live. Do you want life? Do you want abundant life? Choose Christ. Why go the way of the wicked? What a terrible life. The way of the transgressor is hard. But if you will come to Christ and you will submit to him, you will say, yes, I believe the word of God, and I believe what is written here about Christ, and I believe that he died on the cross and he rose again, that he is the Son of God, and I will commit my life to him. Beloved, then will your way be made smooth. Am I saying there won't be any troubles? I'm not saying there won't be any troubles. But I'm saying after this world, there is heaven at the feet of Jesus forever. The righteous man, even when he faces troubles, he knows it's all part of God's plan. And he knows that when he gets to the other side of it, it's all glory. Amen? The way of the righteous is smooth. Verse 9. With his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Well, it only takes one small spark to set a forest on fire. It comes from James. So with a godless man, with but one word, he can destroy his neighbor. But as the godless speak without a knowledge of God, they ruin their neighbor. What's this saying? How many times have you heard the counsel of the ungodly? The ungodly thinking their counsel most intelligent when they are profoundly ignorant and ruinous. Someone tells their neighbor that they are not happy in their marriage. And the godless one answers, well, God wants you to be happy. Divorce is the right answer for you. You're a victim of circumstance. Take control of your life and do what makes you happy. That is a godless response that destroys the neighbor. But it is through the knowledge of God that the righteous will be delivered. For the righteous know the word of God, and in obedience to God, God delivers them from their trouble. The righteous one seeks the righteousness of God and says, what does God's word say about my situation? And then they open to the pages of Ephesians chapter 5, Colossians chapter 3, and they read of what God desires for the marriage, and they submit to it, and God delivers them out of their troubles. Number three, godless ignorance destroys, while the knowledge of God delivers from destruction. Be wise, know God, and live. And when I say live, I don't mean just breathe. I mean live, brother. Live, sister. Live the life that God has for you. It's a joyous life full of meaning. Amen? Verses 10 and 11. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is glad shouting. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked is torn down. Even the vast majorities of the people in this world know what is right and wrong, and communities rejoice when justice prevails. And beyond the issue of right and wrong, when the upright are blessed, the entire community is benefited because the righteous share the blessings, and it brings joy to all. And how glad people are when justice rolls and the wicked oppressors perish. Is that not true? Think of the celebrating that took place when bin Laden breathed his last. By the blessings of the upright, a city prospers, and by the vile decision of the wicked, it is brought to ruin. Will you build or destroy? Will you follow God and be a means of joy to the citizens of your community, or will you be wicked, bringing them happiness only when you die? Will you be Christly or wicked? Verse 12. He who despises his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding keeps silent. The fool fights with his neighbor. Why are you fighting with your neighbor? Well, I pray for him. I pray that God will just get him. God, just get him good. Why do you hate your neighbor? Why do you fight with your neighbor? He who despises his neighbor lacks sense. That means he's a fool. The fool fights with his neighbor while the wise holds their tongue. Yeah, but they throw trash over the wall. Well, pick it up and put it in the trash can. It's not going to kill you. I don't like it. Well, I don't like it either. It's not right. Pick it up, put it in the trash can. Jesus will deliver you. All right? The fool yells at his neighbor, while the wise one gives a soft answer, turning away wrath. If something good cannot be said, then the wise say nothing and honor God. Verse 13. Isn't this good practical wisdom? I think about these verses and think, if we would just apply this one verse, how it would change things in our life. Just one verse. And here we have 31 of them today. Verse 13, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. The fool tells everything he knows and then more. Accuracy is not the gossip's concern, but they egotistically want to appear to be important in the know, and they don't care who they slander or the mischief they cause. Beloved, if someone comes a-gossiping, don't share in their sin by listening, but confront them according to Matthew 18 so that you may win them, covering their sin. Both the gossip and the one who listens lacks discretion, but the one who in the wisdom of God is trustworthy knows how to hold a matter confidentially, not sharing what they have heard, not telling of another's failure. They are quick to deal with sin in a godly manner, covering it with God's love. Letter D. God abhors the gossip, but delights in the wise who conceal a matter. The wise worship the Lord by holding matters in confidence. Did you ever think of that? To hold something confidentially is to worship and praise God. Verse 14. Where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in an abundance of counselors, there is victory. The one who is wise seeks the guidance of good and godly counselors. The wise don't seek the counsel of those who always agree with them. Look, if you ask somebody for the counsel and you don't agree with them, you don't search until you find somebody that agrees with you. You take the accumulative counsel, consider the counselor, and see what God says and say the yes and amen. So the wise don't seek the counsel of those who always agree with them, always telling them what they want to hear. But they seek out the truth, even if quite painful. I remember a man, an older man, was in trouble, and he was talking to some people that used to attend church here. And they started patting him on the back. Oh, as if his sin was cute. And he got mad. And he said, would you just once tell me the truth? Never forget that. We need to hear the truth, even if we don't want to hear it. Even if it's not what is pleasant to hear. We need the truth. Amen? So the wise don't seek the counsel of those who always agree with them, always telling them what they want to hear, but they seek out the truth, even if it comes and it's quite painful to hear. How blessed we are then to be in a family of believers where we can seek the counsel of godly sisters and brothers who are more mature and knowledgeable than we. Look, if you've been in the faith 15 years, don't go to a newborn Christian. Go to somebody that's been in the faith for 30 years and learn. In the abundance of godly, correct, biblically-based counsel, there is victory. And outside of such, there is confusion and defeat. Be wise, seek counsel, don't wait until it's too late. Here is wisdom, seek counsel early and save yourself years of heartache and regret. Verse 15, He who is surety for a stranger will surely suffer for it, but he who hates going surety is safe. When you make yourself liable for a stranger's debt, you obligate yourself to pay their debt in full, and you'll suffer regret for that. You can be sure of this. If you refuse surety for a stranger, you will be safe, for you will never be held liable for their debt. Simple enough. Letter E. God does not want you to obligate yourself to pay a stranger's debt. Be wise and obey. Save yourself some trouble. Verse 16, a gracious woman attains honor, and violent men attain riches. Now, the various understandings of this verse are worthy of your study. And I always want to be honest when I'm telling you I'm not agreeing with probably a lot of the commentators on this. But so the various understandings of this verse are worthy of your study. Please don't study it now. I see you looking down at your Bibles, looking at the notes there. Quit that. Do that on your own time. All right? I didn't say that so you wouldn't listen. But as far as I'm concerned, this verse is summed up in this. A good name is better than gold. A gracious woman gains respect, while those who are forceful only gain monetary riches. Better to be loved and admired, honored and respected, than wealthy and despised. Verse 17, the merciful man does himself good, but the cruel man does himself harm. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. But if you do not forget, you will not be forgiven. Yes, what you reap you sow, and to the measure you sow, so shall you reap. Contrast this 17th verse to the 16th. A gracious woman attains honor, the merciful man does himself good. A violent man attains riches, but the cruel man does himself harm. Verses 18 through 21. The wicked earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness gets a true reward. He who is steadfast in righteousness will attain to life, and he who pursues evil will bring about his own death. The perverse in heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their walk are his delight. Assuredly, the evil man will not go unpunished, but the descendants of the righteous will be delivered. While the wicked seek happiness and think that in sin they will find it, they are deceived, for though sin offers a moment of sordid pleasure, it is passing, it is short-lived, and brings them to the ruin of death where there is no turning to God. But the one who sows righteousness unto God will yield the true reward of everlasting life with everlasting joy. Why seek the passing pleasures of this world when God offers you the eternal pleasures of his kingdom? F. The perverse are an abomination to the Lord. He detests them, and their punishment is guaranteed. But he delights in those who walk blamelessly, and in delight he delivers them and all who follow from sin and death to righteousness and life. Verse 22. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. Who in the world would try to decorate or honor a defiled pig by putting a gold ring in its nose? And you know what that pig will do with that ring in its nose? He will try to root things out. That's why you put a ring in a pig's nose, you know, to keep it from digging and rooting. He will try, and he'll wear that ring away, the gold ring. It's a soft, precious metal. Who would try to decorate or honor the defiled pig by putting a gold ring in its nose? What absurdity. Think of it. Physical beauty is only skin deep. It lies on the surface as an ornament. Physical beauty that adorns one who lacks godly discretion is a repulsive incongruity. I confess, I have met beautiful women. My wife is one. But I admit I have met other beautiful women that the moment you start to talk to them, they're not so beautiful anymore. And you get to know them, and Who wants to be near? One can paint a house made of rotten wood, but still, as nice as the paint may look, it is only a cover for rotten wood. Let us remember that while man looks on the outward appearance, God looks upon the heart. My dear family, true beauty is found on the inside. Beautify yourself by gaining the discretion of God's wisdom through His Word. Verse 23. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. The person of God desires only what is good, for their mind is set on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, as Terry read in the opening scripture. Their thoughts, intentions, and desires are pure, for they desire what God desires. And God will bring it about just as He promised. God will bring His promises about. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. But for the wicked, all they have to look forward to is certain judgment, when the wrath of God will be poured upon them. No wonder the people of the world are so afraid of dying. Letter G. Desire what is godly, and God will see to it that your desire is realized. Or desire what is evil, and God will reward you, seeing to it that your evil comes upon you. Be wise. Verses 24 and 25. There is one who scatters, yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, but it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. Again, we have the divine principle of sowing and reaping, not as the prosperity teachers teach, but as the Bible teaches. As the Apostle Paul wrote, 2 Corinthians 9:6-9, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness abides forever." This truth concerning sowing and reaping brought Bunyan to write this rhyme found in the pages of Pilgrim's Progress. A man there was, though some did count him mad, the more he cast away, the more he had. He that bestows his goods upon the poor shall have as much gain again and 10 times more. Letter H. The wise give, for they know that they have only because God has given first. And God, with God as their source, they believe God at His word, that He blesses those who bless others. But as the wicked withhold what they owe, God withholds contentment, and they are never satisfied. Isn't it amazing? You see some Christian soul who appears to have so little, and they're rejoicing and thanking God for everything they have, and then you see some wealthy man who's never content, striving for more. I remember as a young man hearing that a man would say, "After I make my first million, that will be enough." But when he makes his first million, he needs two. The wicked are never content. Be wise. Be happy in God and share what He shared with you. Amen. Verse 26. He who withholds grain, the people will curse him, but blessings will be on the head of him who sells it. Well, people despise and curse those who of wickedness withhold food, seeking to extort an exorbitant price from those in need. But the man who sells at a fair price is the man whom the people will bless, and moreover, whom God will bless. In the holiness of God, there is no room for price fixing or for taking advantage of a disaster where people are in need. If you have and people are in need, then wisely give so as to meet the need. Or if the people are able to pay, then sell fairly. This is what God expects of us. Number one, it is the wicked who withhold goods and whom the people curse. The people of God share fairly and are blessed for it. Verse 27, he who diligently seeks good seeks favor, but he who searches after evil, it will come to him. Look, if you seek to do good, then you'll realize the favor of man and God. But if you seek to work evil, evil will be worked against you. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it. You reap what you sow, God sees to it. Verse 28, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the green leaf. The godless who trust in their riches are sure to come to ruin, falling from the tree of life like a dry autumn leaf. But the man who trusts in God, whether he has money or not, will prosper like a tree that is planted by the water. His leaf will be green as he draws life from the tree of life. Number two, the man who trusts in his wealth over God is sure to learn that money is passing, a passing means, while God is the eternal provider. Verse 29, he who troubles his own house will inherit wind, and the foolish will be servant to the wise-hearted. He who troubles his own house, whether it be the child who rebels, or a man who fails to provide, or the contentious wife, or a parent who fails to lead their home in the wisdom of godliness, those who trouble their own home, they will inherit no good thing, and neither will they leave an inheritance worth having. Indeed, it is the wise of heart who rule over the foolish. Blessed are those who are wise of heart, for they are the sons of God, and they shall inherit the earth. Be a troublemaker or be a peacemaker, and reap your reward. Verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Those who have wisdom live in the righteousness of Christ, produce life-giving fruit, offering those around them the opportunity to taste of God, to see that he is good. Beloved, as wise Christians, we are like living trees that testify of the salvation of Christ, of the goodness of our Lord. And as our boughs reach out, offering appealing fruit to a lost and dying people, if they will but take, they will inherit everlasting life. Picture yourself as that tree in the middle of the city that blooms full and produces fruit and people coming and tasting. Are you that good tree? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He who is wise wins souls. Letter I. Wisdom consists not in the knowledge of Scripture or divine principles, precious as they are and must be, but in the ability to walk in the power of these things and to so minister to men and women that they shall be won for Christ and his truth. As our brother said earlier, praying, not just a head knowledge, but a knowledge that puts these things to practice in our life. And my little quote continues there. This is the will of God for us, that in wisdom and knowledge and through word and deed we win souls. Christ Jesus says to us as he did to his first disciples, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. This is the will of God for us, that we are fishers of men. We're winning men over for Christ, that we're putting the bait out there, we're putting the fruit out there so they can take of it, so that they can know that the Lord is good. The wise win souls. Verse 31, if the righteous will be rewarded in the earth, how much more the wicked and the sinner? Now, like a verse I told you about a little bit earlier, concerning this verse, you'd better study it for yourself when you get home. For I do not agree with the vast majority of the commentators. I take this verse to carry the pattern of the chapter, one thing contrasted to another. I take it to carry the pattern of the chapter and not to differ from it. Letter J, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. If the Lord, who is delighted in the righteous, sees to their good and just reward, then moreover, we are sure that the wicked and the sinner will receive a just and terrifying reward. Indeed, reward and judgment may linger. We never feel like we're rewarded soon enough. And when we look to the wicked, we never feel like they're judged soon enough. It may linger. But church, God's time is best. And both reward and judgment are certain. God will render reward upon his righteous ones and execute judgment upon the wicked. So we come to this closing phrase. What a contrast between the righteous and the wicked, between the wise and the fool. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Choose today who you will serve. Choose wisdom over folly. Choose Christ over self. For Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God to those who are being saved. Be wise and choose righteousness over wickedness. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, with this blessed chapter 11 of Proverbs before us, with 31 verses, one after the other, I pray, Heavenly Father, that your word has been opened to us, and in rapid fire succession, we have received from your Spirit your truth. I pray, Lord, that each principle and precept has been laid in our heart. The seeds have been scattered, and I pray, Lord, that they have fallen on good soil. Now we pray, Heavenly Father, that at this moment you will begin to reap a good harvest out of us, that you will cause that seed to be rooted in us, to grow and produce much good fruit. I pray, Lord, that we will take these words seriously and we will begin to practice them. Lord, would you, in your mercy and kindness, supernaturally cause us to remember these truths as we come to the situations in our life where these are applicable. That when we deal with our neighbor, we remember the verse that tells us how to deal with our neighbor. When we come to our business practices, that we remember the verse that tells us how we are to practice our business. And Lord, when we come to meet the lost, that we will remember the verses that tell us how to minister to the lost, to offer them the good fruit of righteousness, so they may taste and see that you are good, and that they may come to know you. Lord, may we be wise people who win souls. Be glorified in us, O Lord. Help us to apply what we have heard. Help us to be more than hearers, but doers of your word. And Lord, may we glorify you in these things. And as always, Lord, we pray today, as in our midst, if there are those who are not right with you, who have not come to believe that Jesus is the Christ of God, the Son of God who came, born, lived a perfect life, and yet died on the cross, paying the penalty for our sins. But 3 days in the grave, you rose him. You raised him up, and he arose from the dead to live forevermore. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone who has not believed that Jesus is the Christ, that today they will believe. And from this moment forward, it is in their heart and mind that they will follow after you, that they will love you, they will love your word, and they will love what you love. Lord, give them direction, give them newness of life. Let old things be passed away. Lord, behold, let all things be new for them. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus, that each one will have life in you and have life abundantly. We give you praise. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen.